Hello, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and I'm going to talk to you today on this podcast about SAP 21 on leases. That's SAP 21 on leases. I'd like to start this podcast by just quoting from Sir David Tweedie of the International Accounting Standards Board. And this is what he says about leases. I can guarantee that almost all of you have never flown on a plane that has appeared in the airline's balance sheet. And the reason for that is that they tend not to buy them. They lease them. And we all have leasing standards. And the great news is that these leasing standards are perfectly harmonised worldwide. They are all absolutely useless. None of them work. What's he getting at there? Well, what he's saying is that the leasing standard is there to ensure that leases that transfer the risks and rewards of ownership to businesses appear on the business's balance sheets. And he's saying that those leasing standards that we have that aim to do that don't actually work, because what happens in practice is that companies don't like capitalising leases. That's putting leased assets onto their balance sheet as fixed assets and as lease liabilities. Why don't they like doing that? Well, they don't want the extra asset on the balance sheet, which is going to reduce their return on capital employed ratio. And probably more importantly, they don't like the extra liability on their balance sheet, which will worsen their gearing ratio and may also mean that they end up breaching bank covenants on the level of gearing that they have. So the leasing standard looks to create two types of leases. The finance lease, which is the one that we capitalise. If we have a finance lease, then we bring the asset and a corresponding liability onto our balance sheet. And then the operating lease. The operating lease doesn't appear on our balance sheet. So what is a finance lease then? Let's look at finance leases. A finance lease, the basic definition is that it transfers all the risks and rewards of ownership to the lessee. What does that mean? What factors would indicate that the risks and rewards of ownership have been transferred to the lessee? That's the person leasing the asset. Well, the most important factor is the cost of the lease. And what we do here is we compare the present value of the minimum lease payments, so the present value of the lease payments that we're committed to make under the lease contract, and we compare that against the fair value of the asset. That's the fair value of the asset that we're leasing on the date that we take the lease out. And if the present value of the minimum lease payments is at least 90% of the fair value of the asset, then there is a presumption, it can be rebutted, but there's a presumption that we have a finance lease and therefore the lease should be capitalised. The other things that we might take account of might be the length of the lease against the asset's useful economic life. And where we are leasing the asset for the bulk, if not all, of the asset's useful economic life, then the presumption would again be that we perhaps have a finance lease. Other things we might take account of might be who's responsible for things like insurance and repairs of the asset, and where it's the lessee who is responsible for the insurance and repairs of the asset, then that would be evidence that we have a finance lease. And if it's the other way around, if the lessor has that responsibility, then the presumption would be that it's an operating lease. We might also look at whether ownership of the asset is likely to be transferred at the end of the lease agreement. So, for example, if there were a bargain purchase option, let's say we had a lease of 5 years over a car, and the lease contract said if at the end of 5 years we wanted to buy the asset, then we could buy it for, let's say, £1. That bargain purchase option might indicate that the lessee would eventually end up having legal ownership of the asset, and that would, again, be evidence that we had a finance lease. So there are lots of pieces of evidence, and that list I've just given is by no means conclusive. There are lots of pieces of evidence that could indicate that we have a substantial transfer of all the risks and rewards of ownership. But the key one in that list is the first one. What does the lease cost? So that's a finance lease. What's an operating lease then? Well, this is a great definition, this. An operating lease is any lease other than a finance lease. So basically, you've only got two options. There's the finance lease, and anything that's not a finance lease is an operating lease. How do we account for finance leases then? Well, I've already mentioned this briefly, but in a little bit more detail. If we believe we have a finance lease, then first of all, we've got an asset. With that asset, we depreciate it over the shorter of the lease term and the useful life of the asset. And once we've created it and included it as an asset in our balance sheet, then we separately disclose the net book value for each class of asset of the assets that we lease. So for example, if we had leased cars, then we would show what the net book value of the cars that we leased was. If we had leased machinery, we would show what the net book value of the leased machinery was in our fixed asset disclosure note. On the other side, we've also got a liability, and the lease payments will be apportioned between finance charges and the reduction in the outstanding lease liability. So every time we make a lease payment, we will split that lease payment into a repayment of the capital value of the lease and into an interest element. In the balance sheet at the end of the year, we will have to analyse our lease liability between the amount due within 1 year and the amount due after more than 1 year. So just a quick summary then. When we feel we have a finance lease, our journals to bring that finance lease into our books are, first of all, debit the fixed asset and credit the lease. Now, the value that we'll do that at could be one of two things. It could be the present value of the minimum lease payments that we use. That's perhaps the more correct way to do it. So debit the fixed asset and credit the lease creditor with the present value of the minimum lease payments. Or as an approximation, we could use the fair value of the asset. So debit the fixed asset, credit the lease creditor with the fair value of the fixed asset. Once that's in there, we would then charge the profit and loss account with the interest by debiting the profit and loss account and crediting the lease creditor with those interest payments. We would also have to debit the profit and loss account and credit the fixed asset for the depreciation that we were charging on that fixed asset. What about lessee accounting, where we have an operating lease? Well, where we have an operating lease, it's much more straightforward. That item does not appear on our balance sheet. And instead, what we have is a recognition of the lease payments as an expense on a straight line basis through our profit and loss account. There are some disclosures that we'll make in relation to the lease in the notes to the accounts. For example, we will make a disclosure on the maturity analysis of the total future minimum lease payments under our non-cancellable operating lease agreements. Finally, on leasing, I wanted to talk to you about developments on leasing. We started off with that quote from Sir David Tweedy about how our lease standards worldwide, and that includes, of course, SAP 21, our UK standard, how they don't achieve what we want them to achieve. What we would like to achieve is a situation where companies who have the substantial risks and rewards of ownership over assets, capitalising those assets in their balance sheet. And our current leasing standards don't achieve that because companies are able to circumvent those rules and keep those assets and corresponding liabilities off their balance sheet. So the current proposal, which isn't even yet in an exposure draft, but the current proposal, the current thinking in this area is that perhaps we should get rid of the distinction between operating leases and finance leases and simply say that all leases should be capitalised. That's quite radical. And I'm sure that companies wouldn't like to see that happen, as it will bring even more assets and, of course, even more liabilities onto the balance sheets. But you can watch out for developments in that area and discussion drafts and eventually exposure drafts coming out around the area of leasing. And that's it, really. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Steve Carlisle. Bye-bye.